I'm glad you're here this morning. You glad to be in church this morning? God's presence is here today, and I want to open God's word to you, and I hope that God speaks specifically if he hasn't yet already. We continue in the Gospel of John. We've been there for some time, and we're going to continue being there. We're going to get done with John chapter 12 today, so if you want something to be excited about, we're done with John chapter 12 at the end of this day. Next week is John chapter 13, the washing of the disciples' feet. So everybody have your feet manicured and taken care of, pedicured, whatever the word is that you're supposed to do, because you just might get your feet washed next week. Okay, you're not. Don't be worried about that, because you're not going to have that happen. Some of you are like, I'm just not going to show up for church. I have to take the tomatoes out or something. I can't show up for church. We're not going to do that. The title of the message is Seeing God. Seeing God. Do you see God on a normal basis? Do you see God every day? How do you see God? And Jesus tells us how to see God. This passage that we're going to look at today is at the end of Jesus' public ministry. At least that's where John is at with his telling. As we go into John chapter 13, he's going to be a little more intimate with his disciples. Then he's going to come and he'll be in public again, because he's obviously going to be crucified and brought before Pilate, and then he's going to be all in those places. But here he is ending his public ministry. And so before we go into the scripture today, I'm going to get seven things that I pulled out of these few verses. I'm going to have them on the screen. You can write them down if you want. You don't have to write them down. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on two of these for the message today. So here's what I see this passage telling us. And maybe you would grab something else out of that, and that's totally fine. But here's what it says. One, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. Number two, if you see Jesus, you see God. Number three, if you believe in Jesus, you will walk in the light, not in the darkness. Four, some will hear the words of Christ and reject his word, which means that they are ultimately rejecting him. If you reject Jesus, you reject him. If you reject his word, then you reject him. Number five, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Number six, Jesus was sent from the Father. And number seven, Jesus spoke from the Father the commandment of eternal life. This is what Jesus says. This is what he is communicating. And I'm going to focus on the first two this morning, because I think that they are, I guess, I don't know if I think that they're the most important, but they just jumped out of scripture to me. The first one is, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. And the second one, if you see Jesus, you see God. So let's look into John chapter 12. It's on the chair Bible in front of you if you want to pay follow along there. And 899 is the page. And then we will then look into these two things. John chapter 12, verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge them, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. The first thing, if you see Jesus, actually, sorry, the first thing, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. If you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3. Long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, which we talked about this morning in communion, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. If you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. Jesus said it in John chapter 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. He's communicating something here. And John 1, 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, John continues to tell us, Jesus continues to say, believe in me. So, do you believe in Jesus? I hope that you do. If you don't, believe in him for the first time, or believe in him again. Obviously, we have seen as we've went through John, some that turned away and didn't believe or didn't follow him any longer. But yet, we even saw recently, even in some of the authorities believed, and that's a good thing. So what is Jesus saying? He is saying this, if you believe in me, you believe in the Father. So let me try to illustrate. How many of you like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? I'm not giving any out this morning. I'm sorry. It'd be a good day if we did. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. You believe in Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, but you really believe in the Hershey's Corporation, okay? You think you believe in Reese's, but without the Hershey's Corporation, you don't have Reese's. Some of you believe in your teachers and their abilities. Or if you're a teacher, then people believe in you. But you know who they're really putting their faith in? They're putting their faith in somebody above you, and that's the administration. That might be difficult for some of you who are teachers in the room, like, oh, that's not good. But really, that's what they're saying is you as a parent, you as us as a society, we're not just putting our belief in a teacher. We're saying there's a greater standard here. You may believe in your Sedona, your F-150, your Grand Cherokee, or your Camry, but you're really not believing in those. You're believing in Kia and Ford and Jeep and Toyota. Now, sometimes it breaks down and you don't believe either, but Jesus is saying this. If you believe in me, you are believing in the Father, which is really the parent company, if you will. Here's one of the greatest parts of these verses. If you believe in Jesus, you can walk in the light and not in darkness. Let's not stumble any longer. Walk in the light of Jesus. And when you see the light of Jesus, he will guide each and every one of us. He did not come to judge, Jesus is saying here. He came to save. But those who reject Jesus judge themselves and will be held accountable. Jesus came to save. A verse that some of you might have remembered or memorized as a kid, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I don't know if I quoted that according to that one, but that's the one I remember. Call to me, and I will show to you great and mighty things that you do not know. The second thing I want you to see is this. If you see Jesus, you see God. What does this mean exactly? I contemplated this for some time this week, and I hope I'm able to explain a little bit to you, because I just don't think that each of us in this room, I think a lot of you are spiritual, but I don't think you go around just seeing Jesus all over. You see things on your computer screen, you're watching games on a TV, you're involved with your family, and you just don't see a picture of Jesus. Now, we try, and I'm very thankful that you came to church this morning, because I think as we come on a Sunday, we have to reorient ourselves of what are we doing with our time, and are we spending it wisely, and are we really focusing in the right way? And so let me encourage you. Can you see Jesus this week? I have some pictures of Jesus. And when you think of Jesus, you may think of this one, or you may think of the next one coming, or the next one coming. You might say, when I think of Jesus, this is what I think. Here's what this word to see means. To see means to behold, contemplate, or gaze upon. Again, I'm going to give you an out this morning, but I don't know that most of us in this room have spent time in gazing a lot on Jesus this week, or beholding, or contemplating him. We've done a lot of things, and we miss it, and we miss seeing Jesus. How do we see Jesus? How can we do this today? Is it achievable? Can we see God? I think yes, but it takes time and devotion and dedication. And let me say this, there are many trappings that come along our way that try to derail us and distract us from seeing Jesus. One of those is the screen that we all have that we carry around with us in our pocket. I think I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. Many times, some of us will get up to check a screen before we get up to check in God's Word. One of the grand ways for you to see Jesus and to see God is by spending time in His Word. If you want to see Jesus, if you want to see who God is, then you have to spend time in His Word. Let me illustrate. Has anybody ever seen George Washington? You've seen a picture of George Washington, but you've never seen him. How do we see George Washington? We see George Washington through pictures and through books that we read. Have any of you ever seen Abraham Lincoln? We had a lady in our congregation a number of years ago. She had a son that would, he kind of looked like Abraham Lincoln, if you remember him. And he would go up to Mount Rushmore, and he'd put the hat on, and he'd ride around on a bike, and he looked like Abraham Lincoln. And so you saw Abraham Lincoln. Did you really see him? No, you saw a replica of him. When we were in Washington, D.C. this last summer, we went, and there was a whole stack of books that have been written about Abraham Lincoln. Like 15,000 books, Abraham Lincoln. That's incredible to me. There's not that much about Abraham Lincoln, is there? It must be, because somebody else writes another book. How do we see Abraham Lincoln? We read about him. Somebody writes a story about him. How do we see Adolf Hitler? Something in your mind immediately clicks when I said that. And we see something about him. How? We don't know him. Did anybody here ever meet Adolf Hitler? I don't think so. How do we see him? We see him because some others have written about him. These were written about in books, but they are not the inspired words of God. The Bible shows us who God is. Spend time getting to know him. Here's a question. Do we spend more time reading and learning of history, a person, a team, a group, a medical understanding than we do of seeing God and Jesus in His Word? Pastor Steve, I need to work. I understand that. I understand that we need to be concerned about payroll, and I understand we need to worry about medical things, and I understand we need to worry about grandkids and that sort of deal. But are we spending time? How are we seeing Jesus? This is what Jesus says. Whoever sees me sees him who sent me. Somehow we have to make it in our lives a point to see Jesus. One of the prime ways is by spending time in His Word. Another way that I think we can see Jesus is through His Spirit. Daily living in the Spirit and asking Him to show us and reveal Himself to us. And may God's Spirit speak to you and me every day. And may we see Jesus. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, if you flip a couple of pages beyond in John chapter 16, verse 13, He says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but at whatever He speaks, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." I want to give you a little more, maybe two illustrations this morning, maybe it'll help you, of how we're supposed to see Jesus. Doesn't work for everyone here, but for some of you, this works for. What am I talking about? How you look, how your physical characteristics are. Some of you in this room look just like your dad. Some of you aren't happy about that. You're like, somebody said I look like my dad. I didn't want to hear that. And you didn't notice it until like just recently. I was visiting someone here recently, and he had his hair, he had longer hair, and he had his hair cut off, and he looked at himself in the mirror, and he's like, I look just like my dad. And his dad was, this guy was in his 60s, and was like, oh, what happened here? Some of you look just like a mom or a grandma. And you're like, no, I didn't know. That wasn't supposed to be. Some of you are like, yeah, that's how I wanted to look when I got older. This is top notch. Now, some of us don't look like anyone. We're just, and you're like, who? You're not adopted. Several of you have been joked about, but don't worry about that. Recently, I was talking to someone, and they said, I was talking about our kids, and said, oh, yeah. Your Selfridge kids, they look alike. You look like a Selfridge. Now, as a dad, I don't understand that exactly because they each look differently, and maybe you've had that said about you, and there's some families that you've noticed that when you see their kids, you're like, dude, they look a lot alike. I mean, they're just like, oh, they're the same, you know? And some of you come from families that are like, what happened here, you know? Same mom and dad, yeah, same mom and dad, but it was just different. Sometimes there's baby photos that happen. Oh, she has her grandpa's chin. Hopefully that's a good thing. Or she has her grandma's eyes, or her mom's nose, or her dad's forehead. Or sometimes it isn't looks, but it's mannerisms. It's not looks, but it's mannerisms. I'm trying to see if Jamie Ellenwood, he's standing out there. Jamie Ellenwood and his son Ryan were walking in last week, and I was following them, and the way they were walking along, I'm like, dude, if that's not a father-son, what is it? Or the way you tilt your head, or the way that you move your arms when you talk, or have you ever been said, a laugh? You laugh just like your grandpa. You laugh just like your uncle. No, I don't want to laugh like him. Who do you laugh like? Mannerisms. The passage today talks about Jesus coming into the world. He says that if we see Jesus, we see God. When we see Jesus, we see God. May people see Jesus in our lives. See, God sent Jesus into the world, and I don't know that Jesus had God's nose, okay? I don't think that Jesus had God's hands, but he was a representation to us of who God is. And it's more God's character than physical characteristics. I want to see God. I want you to see God. Why? Because God is the peace of all mankind. God is the creator of the world and the creator of me and you. Don't you think the creator wants to know me as well as I know him? May we see Jesus. Second way, maybe to think about. Maybe you're traveling along and from a distance you spot me. You have no clue who I am. You have no understanding of what I am. All you can see is there seems to be a figure of some kind. Now, you could wait to when you get closer to me, but let's say that you have a pair of these little gadgets here, all right? A pair of binoculars. And at a far distance, you see something on the hillside, and it's me. But you don't have a clue if it's a person. Maybe it's a big eagle. Maybe it's a bear. Maybe it's a pig. You don't know what it is. But let's say that you have a pair of binoculars, and you hold them up, and you put them up, and you start looking through them. The pair depends on how far you are away. I know there's different magnetism than the binoculars. But let's say that you can then make me out. At that point in time, you might be able to recognize that it's a man. Oh, it's a man. I can tell it's a man. You might be able today notice that what attire I have on. You might notice that I don't have long hair. You might be able to see that I have eyes. I'm not sure how close you are. You would probably be able to make out if I have dark clothing on or light clothing on. But then as you got closer, you probably would be able to realize that I have two hands. From a distance, you would never, if you just saw a figure, you would know if I'm standing like this, you're not going to know if I have two hands. I do. Not everybody does. Most of you do. Not all of you do. We all have two hands. That's a good thing, isn't it? If you've never lived without one hand, try that for a while. That's tough to do. Most of us have two hands. You would notice as you get a little closer that I have dark, but I have graying hair. You would notice that my nose is not a small nose. It's not gargantuan in my mind. Maybe it is. Maybe you think it is. But it's not gargantuan. You hopefully would notice a smile from me. You would see that I have a goatee. You can see my frame, whether I'm tall, short, if I'm extra big, if I'm extra small. As you get even closer, you may notice that I have a watch on. You may even notice that I have a bracelet on, but you're like, what is that for and what does that mean? Does he ever change the bracelets? I do. You may notice my color of my shoes. You might notice if I have shoestrings or not in my shoes. I don't. I don't have any shoestrings in my shoes. But if you got close enough, you might even be able to recognize that I have a scar in my left eyebrow. My parents are here this morning and they told me I wasn't praying enough, and so they threw me into the altar, and so that's what, it's not exactly true. The truth is I did trip over the carpet in the church, and I ran into the corner of the altar, but my parents did not push me there. So you know me, right? Because that's my physical frame, correct? No, you haven't seen my soul, have you? Why do I share all this? So, there I am on a far distant hill. You're trying to identify if it's a person, an animal, what that thing is. You start to get a little closer. I didn't bring a magnifying glass with me, but you could even look at my cells and look into all that stuff. I don't even understand that. As you get closer, you understand more. Jesus came from heaven to show us a physical representation of who God was. But he did more than that. He showed us the very heart of God. That God would give of his only son for our sins. That God would show of his love through Jesus Christ. That we would see of God's holiness and his desires that we'd follow after him. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, here's what it says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Jesus talks to his disciples. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus replied, Philip, I have been with you all this time, and still you do not know me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? I get concerned of my own life, and I should ask if you're concerned of your own life. Does Jesus ever look at us and say, Steve or whoever your name is, I've been with you all this time and still you don't know me? How can that be? These were the 12 disciples. They were right with him. They saw all the signs and wonders. They were awed by it. And he tells them, have you not seen me? I'm right here. It's not just a passing glance or a view from afar. This is looking into deeper into Jesus. How do we see Jesus? through his word, through his spirit. Do you want to see Jesus? If you do, you have to spend time in God's word. Whoever sees me sees him who sent me. Here's my opinion. I contend with you that people, and this may be you, who choose not to follow God or do not want to follow God have not really seen God. I think if people really see God and his characteristics of holiness and love and righteousness, I think if people really see him, if a person really sees God for who he really is, not who the church has made him out to be, not who some pastor's made him out to be, not even who you've made him out to be, if they truly see God, they will love him. I truly believe that. Some blame the church. Well, don't blame the church. If you are doubting your faith, I contend with you, you truly seek out God's scriptures, and his scriptures will be inspiring to you. I love verse 50, and I didn't spend much time on it, but let me challenge you with just one more thought. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. What I say? Now, this is a question of Scripture. Can I say whatever I say? No. If the Father speaks through me, is that a good thing? Yes. Is this just applying to Jesus? Maybe so. But maybe Jesus is saying to us today as well, whatever we say, therefore, we say as the Father has told us. Are we so in tune with the Father that what we say is what the Father would have us to say? We're going to show with our lives if we believe in Jesus and ultimately believe in God. We also will show if we see Jesus, others are going to see that in us. Why? 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If you see Jesus, you see God. If you see Jesus, you with unveiled faces are going to shine the glory of God. May we see Jesus this week, and may he shine through us. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each of us. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us these moments to come in and to gaze upon you. Oh God, I pray that we haven't missed it. I know we're concerned about all kinds of things, lunch and football games and activities and schoolwork and vacations, and help us to see you. Help us not to miss seeing you. Help us to see you on a daily basis. And may it not just be from afar on a hill somewhere and we say, yep, there's God. But may we see you each and every day in your word. And may others see you in our lives. God, I just pray for somebody here today that maybe is having a hard time believing in you. I pray that they would open up your word and they would just believe. Some of us go through some struggling times. And I just pray if there'd be somebody who's struggling right now, that they would see you and may they glorify your name. God, I pray for each person in this room. May you go before them this week. May you guide their thoughts. May you guard their hearts. And may you lead them in the way of righteousness. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.